In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Your salvation rests solely on Christ. He left the 99 and he came looking for you. He picked you up. He placed you on his shoulders. And he went home rejoicing all the way. You're the sinner. He's the Savior. You were lost. He found you. You were incompetent. He carried you. He rejoiced as he went while the self-righteous grumbled and complained. This man welcomes sinners and eats with them. So what? Let them grumble, let them complain. Christ will continue to rejoice as he prepares before you a magnificent feast. It's the finest of wines and the best of meats. He spares no expense. He withholds nothing from you, but he gives you the very best of the best. No strings attached. Nothing you must do. A gift from his grace. Christ has done it all for you. He alone is your Savior. These parables use earthly illustrations to teach us a point. Yet did you notice how vastly different they are from earthly stories? The kingdom of God is completely different than the kingdoms we find among us here on this earth. Does a woman throw a party when she finds her lost purse? No, she's embarrassed, and she hopes her husband doesn't lecture her too much on the importance of keeping track of things. But who of us can say we have never lost track of anything? We learn our lesson so that we don't make the same mistake twice. Or to up the ante a bit, we lose a child at the zoo. We're scared and frantically search for that child, and we cry tears when we find him, not out of joy, but out of fear and frustration and relief. Who knows what might have happened to him? We scold that child for not staying close, and really we're lecturing ourselves. We were the ones who lost him. We lecture so that we don't make the same mistake twice. We and that child learns from this lesson. To up the ante even more, your child comes home from rehab for the fifth time. Do you throw a party, have a celebration, invite everyone that you know over? No, you're embarrassed and ashamed. You deeply love that prodigal son, but you guard him closely and care for him, support him, lay down the ground rules, the new house rules for him, hoping that finally this time it will stick. This is not what your Lord does. He is extravagant. He invites anyone and everyone that he knows, both on earth and in heaven. He spares no expense, but he slaughters that fattened calf for a celebration. He welcomes you home as his dearly loved son. You can't earn your way back, and you don't have to. The ring slips on your finger, and the royal garments fit right over your shoulders. It's a gift from him. He is your Savior. He is reckless, wasteful, and by our earthly standards, he is quite foolish with his grace. It's like he can't control himself. And yet when it comes to his grace, he will never top it off. And he pours not only the most expensive champagne over a phone, but he pours it into your cup until it overflows, and he never stops pouring. It's reckless and wasteful by our standards, but it's grace by God's. You sit with God. You eat with God. You are his joy and his delight. He does not lecture you. He does not scold or discipline you. He is not ashamed or afraid. There are no new house rules that you now must follow since you are back with him, but it's a full and utter complete celebration. He is not scared of what you will do next time or if you will fall off the wagon. He loves you, and he rejoices in what you now are. The sinner made saint, the lost now found, the dead made alive. And those angels in heaven don't question what hole God dragged you out of. But they too rejoice without hesitation and without fear of what you will do. The Pharisees want a lecture. Jesus should teach these sinners how to behave so that they can, well, so frankly, so they can be more like them. And we like that as well. We want lectures. We want discipline. We want those rules so we know what we have to do to make things right. Full and free forgiveness is really a foreign concept to us, even in our earthly dealings. There are always some strings attached. When the child makes the same mistake, not shortly thereafter, we ask him, well, then I guess you really weren't sorry. We expect them to change and do something different. And yet God gives full and free forgiveness to murderers and rapists, to terrorists and adulterers and drug dealers. There are no strings attached. There is nothing that they must do. It is foolish by our standards. It is grace by God's. We want a lecture. We want those rules. So frankly, those people can be more like us. They need to reform their ways. But you reform a sinner and you get nothing more than a reformed sinner. The sinner needs a savior. If you were to go home and watch the news later today, and you see horrible events, yet again our country, racked with pain and suffering. And then if you would hear President Obama pardoning every single last one of those terrorists, and then every single last prisoner or inmate held in any institution, fully and freely, no strings attached, you would wonder what is going on. Chaos. And yet, is that not exactly what your God has done? His forgiveness is not based on a whim. It is based on his priceless blood. God forgives you because you have a Savior who suffered your punishment on Calvary. He ate with sinners like Levi and Zacchaeus, like you and me. And so he became the equivalent of us. We think grace is cheap, but grace is not. It is the most expensive thing there is in this world. The blood of man cannot set you free, only the blood of God. And he shed it all, holding nothing back, but let it all flow from his head, his hands, his feet, and his side. How precious is that blood? How divine. There is nothing more expensive in this world than forgiveness. It's just not paid for by you. He shouldered the weight of your sins. He bore your burden and your guilt. He paid the punishment for those terrorists, for our sins, for those in the Middle East, and for every murderer and rapist there ever was. He wanted to be your Savior. He wanted the joy of having you stretched across his shoulders as he sings songs of love and songs of victory, carrying you heavenward. He doesn't lecture you. He doesn't discipline you. He saves you. And then he prepares a magnificent banquet for you. And at this celebration, there are murderers and rapists like King David. There are terrorists and drug dealers, and they sit with God. They eat with God. They sit across from you, and you look them in the eyes, and you eat from the same bread that they eat and drink from the same chalice that they sip from. You are one with them. If you do not want to celebrate with sinners, then you won't like heaven very much, because heaven is filled with sinners. Heaven is filled with sinners because Christ surrounds himself with sinners, much to the dismay of these Pharisees. And it also makes us a bit uneasy as we feel like we are a bit better than they. Christ surrounds himself with sinners because he has come to save sinners. Sinners like you. You are willing to confess that you are a sinner. You just did it at the beginning of our service. Believe what you confess. You are even willing to say that you are the chief of sinners, echoing St. Paul's words. Believe what you confess, that you are no better than terrorists or murderers or rapists, that you are no better than those in maximum security or those you hear on the news, and that you deserve nothing good from God. But your entire life should be like that of Orlando or the Middle East. And you do not even deserve the clothes that are on your back. That is what you confess when you say you are a sinner. If you do not believe it, then do not confess it. Come halfway through the service. But nevertheless, it will still remain true of you. You need a Savior. You don't need someone to tell you what to do. You need someone to save you. So repentance is not a one-time thing that happens at the moment of conversion. Your entire life is a life of repentance. Daily you live in the forgiveness of Christ. Daily he must come to you. You are that coin, recreated in God's image and stamped with God's likeness. The woman is the church, and the light is Christ, for he alone can find you and save you. Notice the present tense. Jesus is your Savior. Not only was Jesus your Savior on Calvary, not only did he save you in baptism, but Christ is your Savior right here, right now, today. Tell me, if Christ does not come to you today to save you, how would you get to heaven? If Christ does not come to you today and give you his forgiveness, how would your sins be washed away? How would you have his forgiveness? Christ is your Savior this very day because you still need what he gives. So daily repent, not just in the morning, not just in the evening, but live in that repentance. And notice how Jesus, described repentance. The shepherd finds the sheep. The sheep does not wander back to the shepherd, and the coin does not just happen to roll back to the woman, but Christ does all the work. He is the Savior. So fix your eyes on this good shepherd who always searches for you. Look at that light shining on you who live in the dark, gunky space under the stove. The church is called to forever hold this light before your eyes, even as she diligently sweeps with the rod of the law. It is not pleasant to get knocked around with that law, but it is quite necessary. Faithfully will the church work to hold Christ ever before your eyes, so that just as a coin shines in the light, you too may shine with the brilliance of Christ's glory as you reflect his light to the world. Live in his forgiveness. Repent. Not just when you have something that you feel guilty about, but each and every day. Christ must continue to come and find you. He must constantly forgive you and defend you and protect you, or else who knows what might happen. It is not up to you to uphold your end of the bargain, and God will do his. Grace is not conditional. It is not like you are forcing God's hand when you repent. But you are simply holding him to his promises. He will always forgive. He will always love you. He will always pick you up and place you on his shoulders. He will always sing and rejoice that he once again has found you and is carrying you toward heaven, even as those angels in heaven sing that you poor, worthless sinners who do not deserve the clothes on your back are given the extravagant luxuries of God's heaven. Without reservation, without fear, without hesitation, solely by grace. So gather with these angels and archangels and the whole company of heaven to celebrate. For the sheep has been found by the shepherd. The coin is revealed by the light and is now back with the woman. You, the sinner, you have a Savior. And he is gently carrying you heavenward. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.